Weltbeweger.
Gespräche über Gottes Wirken heute und Mission weltweit.
Herzlich willkommen zu Weltbeweger, dem Podcast der Allianz Mission. Hier berichten wir über Gottes Wirken weltweit und Mission heute. Und heute haben wir mal eine kleine Querveröffentlichung, nämlich heute nehmen wir euch mit rein in eine Episode, die in unserem Schwester-Podcast Digital und Real von der Region Digital erschienen ist. Und dabei wünsche ich euch viel Spaß. Herzlich willkommen, liebe Missionsbegeisterten da draußen. Ich begrüße euch zu einer neuen Episode von Digital und Real, dem Podcast der Region Digital bei der Allianz Mission. Und hier berichten wir über reale Begegnungen von realen Menschen mit dem realen Gott in digitalen Räumen. Und heute habe ich einen Gast zugeschaltet, der gemeinsam mit mir auch auf dem Lausanne Weltkongress in Seoul war. Jeff Reed ist mit uns im Podcast und ihm sagen wir ein ganz herzliches Willkommen. Welcome to the podcast, Jeff.
Awesome. Hey, I recognize the last sentence. So thanks. It's great to be here.
Jeff Reed is located in Miami in the US, and at the moment hurricanes are heading your way. So we'll be praying that tomorrow you still get a house around yourself. But you are neither limited to Florida nor to the US. You are founder of the Church Digital, a mission agency for sending digital missionaries. So starting right in, if I feel called to be a digital missionary, to go to digital missions, how can TCD help me?
Yeah, I mean, that's a loaded statement right there. Even what is a digital missionary? That's what we get a lot of. So really, we work with normal people, like, you know, no seminary degrees, no, we call them normies, the just average of the mill people. We don't even work with a lot of churches. These are just people that have a passion to reach people digitally or have a large following of people digitally for one reason or another and want to do something creative, ministry related, kingdom building wise, with the resources that I've got to give them in digital space. And so there's a lot of people that share Jesus. So evangelists, there's community builders, there are people that are passionate about discipleship or disciple groups or even multiplication, disciple making. Churches that we're building and planting in digital and virtual space, people that are developing apps and platforms, people that are, you know, influencer type, that we've got a guy that has thousands of people that are following him because he's really good at a barbecue. And so he's got a Facebook group called Barbecue something. Mm-hmm. And then he launched Barbecue Church. So dude literally does church targeting people who like barbecue. And there's a lot of people who like barbecue on Facebook. So, but I mean, this is just the random stuff we kind of run into. And so we basically help validate some of these ideas of what digital ministry can be, how it ties into a biblical model and a biblical ecclesiology, and then equip people to be digital missionaries, provide some training and resourcing and coaching where necessary, and then mobilize them, send them out. You know, I've probably had over, I don't know, 700 conversations with people in this vein of line of people that are interested in digital or virtual church or missionary work at this point. And, you know, going back to like early 2020, pre-COVID, 2019, pre-COVID. And it was interesting. Back in 2019, all the ideas were fresh. Oh my gosh, I've never heard of that. At this point in 2024, every idea I've heard, there's very few that are fresh anymore. It's all, so-and-so's doing that just in a different context. Let me connect you with that person. Or, oh my gosh, that's so close to what so-and-so's doing. You two should definitely talk and share ideas. And that's good because you get that collaboration, that unity. And oftentimes people we're talking to, they're alone. Like, to be honest, they're pastors don't understand their calling. Their denominations don't you know, want to waste time on the experiment for it. Like even spouses and friends don't know how to be supportive because they have no idea if the idea is even valid or not. And so, you know, these people finding me and the Church Digital on Google or YouTube or you know, walking in at some conference to speak, to be honest, it gives, well, a sense of joy to me because I get to, you know, help people recognize that thinking outside the box, that a new model of ministry is valid because we have the opportunity to reach someone different by doing something different, which is essentially what we're doing with the Church Digital.
Yes, I love it. Thank you for the introduction to TCD. We'll dig a little deeper in some of the topics you already mentioned. So, Jeff, I was questioning myself, who's Jeff Reed? So I step with you in the elevator. We got 20 floors to go. And I ask you, who's Jeff Reed? What will you tell me?
Yeah, so if you Google me, you'll find that I won the United States Super Bowl by kicking a game-winning field goal. I've won a couple baseball World Series as well here in America. I've also, and once again, this is not me, but I've actually been arrested for doing that thing with patients that you're not supposed to do with patients. Ooh. Once again, that was not me. And so there's a lot of Jeff Reeds out there. My shtick was my first online Bible study I taught was in the year 2000. I can honestly say that in 1992, I felt a calling to be a digital pastor. 1992, wonderful. I was in ninth or eighth grade. Mm-hmm. And pretty much have dedicated my entire life for the church to understand how best to utilize digital technology and really essentially digital community. And that's right now is showing itself through the Church Digital, this digital missionary agency and digital church planting, and so many more initiatives we're working towards with really helping the church lean into the idea of digital community.
Hmm. Thank you. Great. Would you say that during the decades you're already going forward for this topic, we've reached special momentum regarding digital ministry?
That's an interesting question. I think COVID forced everybody into the shoebox, into the shoe, and the shoe really didn't fit with a lot of people, and that's okay. It doesn't need to. Like the churches that are not comfortable digitally, I mean, there's going to be some inherent challenges with them in the next couple of decades, but you know, for today, if they don't want to, I think that's fine. I still think that there's opportunities to explore and to experiment. I do believe that it's interesting. There was a stat that came out in America. 91, this is a State of the Church Tech Report. This came out January 2024. 91% of churches in America consider their ministry hybrid. 91% of churches in America consider their ministry a mix of physical and digital. As a guy who works in digital ministry, I found that stat flabbergasting. Like there is no way 91% of churches are hybrid. Now, a follow-up stat with that is 90% of churches, according to the same report, are streaming their church services online. And to me, that's the biggest discrepancy in digital ministry and digital church, is that in the U.S., and I suspect other places around the world, streaming a church service online equates doing ministry in that space. And I and the people that I work with and the churches that we're equipping and the missionaries we're training and sending, we do not believe that. We believe in a far greater model, a far more relational model of digital ministry. And that's where I think the opportunity shines. That's where I think the people that are wanting to do something different to achieve a different goal, it's okay. You know, the churches that are streaming, we probably need them to stream. They probably need to keep doing what they're doing to reach the people that they're doing. The U.S. physical church has dropped down to 25%. 1 in 4 people in America are active in a church. That's down from 50% 25 years ago. Yes. And so there's trending towards a negative here in America. And so we need to think outside of the box and do something different, or else we're just going to continue to slide negative. And so the more that we can get digital to come into effect, the more that we can get micro churches and workplace ministries and bring more innovation into even church forms and functions. This is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. This is a chance for the kingdom to reach someone different rather than trying to force people to go down a path they don't want to go.
I'm all with you. Being a pastor and a nerd, you're talking out of my heart. But explaining to someone who's not already in digital ministry, what is this special opportunity that extending physical ministry with digital ways or starting ministry in a digital space, what opportunities does it offer that purely going physical does not?
Yeah. So the majority of physical churches utilize, you know, social media or things like this as a digital communication tool.
Yeah.
I'm going to send this email, and this email is going to tell you about the new sermon series that we're launching this Sunday at our church. And so we want to invite you, people in our neighborhood, to come to our physical building to be discipled. Now, that method's not necessarily bad, but that's not what we're talking about. We're not wanting to utilize digital communication tools like email or texting or even social media as a communication tool to drive people into the physical space. We're wanting to lean into the community aspects of this digital technology, into relational aspects where we're building relationships with people via digital methods like texting, like WhatsApp, like Discord or other digital community Facebook groups, Slack, Mighty Networks. We wanted to use this technology to build relationships, virtual reality. Now, wait, Jeff, you can't build real relationships using technology. If you believe that, then the answer is probably no. You're right. You cannot utilize technology to build relationships. But if you believe you can, some of our younger generation will tell you you can. And so we are seeing, and really, if 2020 post-COVID has taught us anything, is that society is bifurcated and trifurcated and quadfurcated. And basically, everybody believes what they want to believe. And so those that do not believe in digital community don't have to. We're not shoving anything down your throat saying that everybody has to be in a digital community. But to say that it's not right for everyone, I don't believe that to be true. And we're seeing plenty of people and plenty of fruit. We're seeing the Holy Spirit move in digital spaces for those that are willing and receptive to allow him to move in digital spaces.
Yes, I'm all with you. We had a special moment, the two of us, after being in contact for, I guess, already more than a year. We met in person the first time while being in South Korea at the 4th Lausanne Congress in Seoul. And being there was really a blast for TCD. Being part of the Digital Discovery Center, we already told about here in the podcast. So from all the, I think you mentioned about 500 conversations TCD had while at the L4, what outcomes do you see so far from the time in Seoul?
Yeah, there was a lot of excitement on all fronts. I literally saw grown men cry at the idea of they would be able to extend their physical ministry into digital space. I'm talking, you know, we had a lot of conversations with Indians, Indians who were nervous about the upcoming persecution that's getting ready to inflict their nation. A lot of people from the African continent that were interested in reaching into the tribes and some of the rural places that they're not able to get to, because even the rural areas of Africa have access to cell phone technology. We had a lot of Middle East where people were wanting and curious about reaching Muslims digitally and give the Muslims a safe place to ask questions and explore. A lot of Asia Pacific, East Asia as well. Some closed countries. Like, it was a really, I didn't know what to expect to walk into it. And really, actually, I was just talking about this. We did a stream and a podcast earlier today on the Church Digital channels. And in my mind, I was kind of expecting Lausanne to kind of be the finish line. Like, we've been working real hard to leverage some of these changes. And now it's like, okay, I'm done. You know, it's like we can get back to normal. And And instead, it ended up being like a launching pad for a whole new thing. Like the follow-up conversations, even with organizations that weren't at Lazon, have been rich. Partnerships have just continued to flourish. Organizations that are wanting us to work with them, organizations that are wanting to work with us, that to help in digital missionary space. I think the thing that was the best surprise for me overall with Lazon was really that organization's support of digital. Like, it really is intertwined in their culture. Michael O, early on in the Congress, stands on stage and say, Lazon has three things we have to do to be effective in the next 15 years. For Lazon to be a success in the next 15 years before Congress 5, we need three D's. We need to master discipleship. We need to master what it looks like to be a Christian. We need to master disciple making. We need to see how those ideas can multiply. And the third D, because he's a closet Southern Baptist at some level, we need to better understand digital.
Yes.
So really, as the CEO of Lazon, who has 5,000 people in a physical room and 21,000 people watching online from 161 countries, they're watching him say, digital is freaking important for the history, for the future of our church.
Yeah.
And that warmed my heart.
Yes.
That told me I'm in a room of friendly people. Mm-hmm. And the audience, the attenders in physical and even in digital space, affirm that time and time again. Like, it was beautiful having conversations with these people. There, I told my team, there was probably only two out of the 500 some conversations we've had. There were only two that were negative. And one was a guy who was just, hey, you know what? This isn't for me. I appreciate what you're doing. Thank you. And then the other was a guy that had an axe to grind on digital church, and we don't need to beat him up, but it was two out of 500. Like, in America, I mean, I get two or three a day, much less over a 7-day convention like we experienced. And so, so exciting to see what the opportunities are ahead of us.
So what will be next steps for TCD? Having done the shift from being more kind of a network to saying, yes, we're a mission agency for empowering, for sending out digital missionaries, for providing them with all they need to do their personal calling in the digital ways. What is ahead of the road?
Yeah, so for us, coming a couple things, we've got to deliver on some of our promises. You know, for us, we're equipping and sending, and so equipping and mobilization is very important. We've got to develop our equipping cohorts and get those going. We've got some betas kicking off in October, November. You know, we were considering a soft launch in August, in October. You know, really just inviting friends and then doing a full launch of it in January of 25. And Jason Morris, who was my teammate, who was with me as we're having hundreds of conversations and people are asking about the equipping course, Jason looks over to me and he's like, we don't get to have a soft launch, do we? And I was like, oh no, the soft launch went out the window, man. Like, it's hold on. And so we're doing a hard press to get that going very quickly in 24. And then mobilization is the next part. You know, for us, we want to do this cohort, you know, centralized within the church digital, where we wanted to say that this is where tactical, you know, a lot of our strategy, your strategies will be developed centralized. And then a lot of the theological, like what's the theology behind digital? Like, these are things that we're going to teach in the cohort.
Yeah.
But a lot of the technical aspects, the hands-on, we want to push that out into the field and get people hands-on access and training on that. And that's where we call them outposts or outpost leaders to get into that. You know, and Simon, what you're doing through Cloud, help me. I never know how to pronounce this.
Cloudkirche.
Cloudkirche.
Uh-huh.
Cloudkirche. Okay.
Not that for an US American.
Yeah, I have butchered that more times than I care to. So I can't apologize enough. But for Cloud Kershia, I mean, you're a great example of one of our outposts where, you know, relationally, I'll connect with people. And there was a guy who was in Hungary, but was trying to reach German people in Hungary, and another person who was in Austria that was trying, like, and so anything in kind of, you know, Western Europe, I guess, is like, hey, have you met my friend Simon? And, you know, down in Africa, we've got, hey, have you met my friend Yetope? Which Africa is really big. I think that's funny. Because they're like, no, I haven't met the guy that's like 12 countries away from me. But it's it starts the conversation well. But really, what we found were, you know, lots of opportunities to extend those networks. Mm-hmm. We found leadership that we're talking to in India. More leadership to step into the nation of Africa. Oceania has come on some of our several opportunities in the Middle East, several mm-hmm. opportunities in South America, mm-hmm. the Pacific Islands. Like our goal, and it's funny, like we're evolving this thing kind of as it's going. People are like, I have a problem with that. I'm like, you know what? You're right. We need to figure that out. You know, our goal is to really get this connected into people groups. We were kind of saying it was platforms and places, like instead of places, and we were taking the people out of the equation. And we had a couple people at Lazon, you know, challenge both of us on that. And, you know, Jason and I sat over a dinner of ramen soup one night at a ramen restaurant in Korea. And it was like, is there validity to what they're saying? I do think there's some interesting validity to that. Like we need to lean into that. What do you think? And then actually took it to our leadership and they agreed. And so it was like, all right, Jason, how are we going to say this? Because, you know, I agree with you, but the world's not ready for that yet. So what's a mid-step? And, but so for us, we want to, really lean into, we're recognizing that platforms give you an opportunity to reach people groups in a unique way. And the people groups and the people that we're connecting with digitally are not ones that are going into physical buildings. And so not ones that are going into church physical buildings. They're beyond that. They're looking for a safe space to engage, to ask questions. And so for us, if we can lean into digital community, even to the point of building trust, establishing relationships, evangelizing, and even discipleship in those digital communities, rather than trying to transfer them into a physical building that they're going to struggle with, I, for one, don't think that's a bad idea. I think we need to take advantage of that. That's really the heart of a lot of the digital missionary work and the digital church work that we're doing right now.
So it's a lot about collaboration, what was the main focus of L4 in Seoul. And one experience of collaboration on a global scale is that you have to struggle with cultural differences. So that is my question. Where do you see limits to fostering collaboration through a network like the Church Digital because of cultural boundaries, differences of different contexts? And where would you say that digital itself forms a culture that makes it easier to collaborate?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. My favorite thing that I got to tell people in Lausanne was, where are you from? And they would insert country name here. And to be honest, half the country names I didn't even recognize. But India was the one that I heard the most. A couple of them, I was like, I don't even know where that country is. Like, my father was a geography teacher and he's yelling at me right now from the other side of the planet. But India, like I told people all the time, like, I don't know your culture. Like, I know you've got 1,100, 1,800 different dialects. There's no way I'm going to understand your culture. And so this is not the face of a movement that's going to happen in India. Like, I don't believe this. A bald white man with a beard is not going to revolutionize India. No, I can spark a movement, but the movement's got to run through natives. And so that's really the heart of what we're trying to do with the Church Digital. Natives, indigenous people, empowering people that understand the culture and the context with this. And so, like, we've been talking about this course, Equipping Digital Missionaries, which our short code for that is EDM. For us, we look at equipping digital missionaries as a train-the-trainer approach. As a matter of fact, I was getting blown up on WhatsApp maybe half an hour ago by a guy in Pakistan who mm-hmm. is very anxious to do the training because he wants to train mm-hmm. people on his team and equip mm-hmm. people to be digital missionaries to extend the reach of his ministry in Pakistan. Yeah. And so as happy as I am to hear that, slow down. I need you to take the course with us. Like you can invite more of your people too, but ideally I want to teach you. And part of the teaching is to help you contextualize it to work for your context. What needs to change? What doesn't need to change? I mean, I think that's going to vary at varying levels because platforms change in certain areas. Culture itself adapts. Learning abilities is it an oral culture? Is it a written culture? What is the shame culture? How is that identified in it? Like I'm learning more and more about the global scale. And yeah. the more that I learn about this, the more that I realize a centralized movement is not going to change the world. And yeah. it's interesting, Simon, I've probably told you the story. There's a guy in America, one of the top marketing guys in the planet. His name's Seth Godin. Mm-hmm. He's written, I don't know, 40, 50 books, New York Times bestseller, famous here in America. Somebody asked him on his podcast back in 2019. Ironically, Seth lives in New York City. The guy who asked this question was in Turkey. How do I get my message heard around the world? Now, the question the guy was asking was, what social media platforms are valid in 2019 that would get his video message or his text message heard globally? That's not the question Seth answered. What Seth said in response was, a billion people don't care about anything you have to say. Like we live in such a fractured society and culture globally, you'll never find a billion people to agree on a single thing. What you need to do to get your message heard around the world is craft a message specifically for someone. Tell that person the idea, get them to hear the idea, get them to understand it, own it, and get that person to tell someone else. Yeah. Essentially, it's a repeated idea, mm-hmm. which ironically is how Christ built the church 2000 some years ago. And so the top marketing guy in America, I think he's Jewish. I'm pretty sure he's not Christian. Basically says that if you want to change the world, do what Christ did, 2000 plus years ago. Yeah. But as we look at what digital church can be, it's that same decentralized focused idea. I had I'm telling the story more and more, but I had an organization approach me a couple years ago and ask me if I wanted to be their digital pastor. This organization mm-hmm. had goals of being the first 1 million person church on the planet. And they wanted to achieve it 100% digitally. They had an interesting strategy, if I were to really like give credibility to credence to them. But the heart of it was, I kind of laughed at the guy after a couple conversations and I was like, God, if you want to change the world, it's not a million person church. It's 100,000 churches of 10. Like yes. you're trying to grow something when you should be multiplying. For us, it's not a mega church. For us, it's a series of micro church networks. That's how we want to utilize digital and having crafted, focused, contextualized small conversations. And so really what we want to provide for our people within our network and Cloud Kersha and things like that. Mm-hmm. We want to provide centralized services to make your life easier, but realizing as much as possible, we want to push decision-making and authority down. Mm-hmm. I tell my leadership all the time, I never want to say no. And it really annoys them because I'm always saying yes to everybody. And in an environment where you have a boss that always says yes, it's very hard to lead in a multiplication moment because you're never able to really scale. And so I get that tension. But the heart is that we're not the experts in the field. I have no idea how to do a German digital church. I have no idea how to do a Hungary church or an Indian church or a Filipino church. I barely know how to do an American church. So rather than me thinking that I have the authority to make these decisions, Let me actually equip the people that are in the position to make those decisions informed, and then ask them, what do you need? How can I help? And start to move to provide those services. That's the move that we are. And so we are a centralized organization providing centralized services to as many decentralized institutions as possible. Yeah. And that's challenging and entirely rewarding all at the same time.
Big perspective, lots of opportunities. Let's take a look on the other side. What do you see as biggest hindrances for digital missions today?
It was said on the stream today. Man, I'm really excited about digital missions, but my pastor and my church, they just don't understand it. Yeah. American culture, you know, I can speak for us. I assume this is at a global level. But there's still a negative connotation around our approach of digital ministry.
Why?
To be honest, like when I have conversations with churches or pastors, I have had people outright angry at me after a 3-minute conversation about what we actually do, change their tone entirely and say, wow, I never thought of it that way. Some of our strongest and most ardent leaders, supporters within the church digital have told me that they historically did not like the idea of digital church, but it's the relational approach. It's that micro church model, the decentralized model instead of the growth mega model. It's the move away from broadcasting church services, the emphasis on only that, and instead moving towards more of a relational approach in digital community. Like, it's those mindsets that make it far more interesting to the naysayers. And the people who will give us time to have the conversation can be turned. We've seen that. Unfortunately, there's a lot of theological backup where some people don't give us the time for the conversation. You know, their theology was defined, or their ecclesiology or whatever ology you want to say, but it was defined by, you know, a education system back in the 1960s or 1950s. And to be honest, like, it hasn't adapted in recent times. It was interesting on Lausanne. You know, I had Simon, I don't know where you were living, but we had a 25-minute bus ride back and forth from our hotel to the Congress every day, to the convention center. And one day I just happened to sit next his name was Jeffrey, and my name's Jeff. And so we laughed about us having the same similar names. And I asked him, I was like, hey, so what do you do for a living? And he's like, I have the simplest job in the world to describe. I'm president of blah, 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 seminary. It's a seminary and Bible college in Canada. And he's like, well, what do you do? And I was like, I have the hardest job to describe in the world. I'm a digital missionary sending. I founded a digital missionary sending agency. And he's like, what the garbage is that? And so we ended up having this phenomenal conversation for 30 minutes. But I asked him point blank in this conversation, why is it that Bible schools and seminaries are so against the idea of digital church? And it was funny. He's like, digital church the way that I know it, or digital church the way that you're describing it? Because that's a big point, is not a lot of people in authority are recognizing a new idea yet. It's still new, and not enough voices are out there claiming it. But the second piece of this is, you know, what he described in the education system is, you know, theology professors that have tenure that aren't interested in learning anything new. They're just perpetuating what they've already known. And so they're not learning anything new. By the time they die off and somebody new comes in, the chances that that person's going to be digital friendly and lean into that, like the education system, and as a result of it, our theological, ecclesiological, whatever you want to define it, different people use different words for different meanings. But like the church system is never going to be ahead. You know, it's the church, the technology will need to solidify for the church to figure out whether it's a fan or not. And the problem is, by the time any one technology solidifies, there's four new technologies that are rolling out. Yeah. And so the church is forever, you know, trying to catch up. Mm-hmm. And To be honest, Lausanne is working towards ways to hopefully solve that problem. And that's some of the stuff that we were working on with our, I know you were in the digital discipleship group. I was supposed to go to a digital discipleship group, and instead they stole me and they put me in a digital community group, which was a lot of fun. And so the digital community group, like they're working on some things to try to fix that. I don't know if it's fixable, if I'm honest. It may just be the burden the church has to carry to be backwards, to be slow, to be non-reactive. And maybe, you know, that's why people like us need to keep doing what we're doing. You know, you've heard me say this, Simon, in the church digital, pioneers get shot, settlers get rich. Like there is this method where, you know, the pioneering that we're doing, the innovative that we're doing, the thinking outside the box, you know, a friend of mine was joking the other day, Jeff, your crown and your kingdom and heaven with all the jewels, like it must be loaded with all the stuff that you're doing. I laugh. Stuff like that drives me crazy when people say that. But we're not doing this for earthly gain. Like if you want to try to figure out how to be a disruptor and innovator, a successful one, the church space, arguably the church in North America space, is not a great position to be an innovator or a disruptor. Like they really don't like innovation or to be disrupted. And so if we were trying to do this stuff for personal gain, you know, a friend of mine says, if you want to make everybody happy, sell ice cream. And so for me, it's much more about, you know, what is God calling us to do, and how can we help those that are called to be more effective with it?
Yeah. And it's such a poor testimony. I would not share it all in detail, but I'd say there are a lot of aspects you mentioned that I could also point out for the European or part of the European churches as well. What I really find a sad point is, looking back to where the church started, we find communities of Christians adapting again and again to circumstances, using what they find, using those who are traveling while doing their business, those doing their job, being in contact with a lot of people, finding their contextualized way of building communities that become churches afterwards, again and again. But that capability of keeping adapting, that has been lost along the way somewhere.
Yeah, there's an interesting book. It's funny. I never know if I should say this or not. There's an interesting book. It was written a while back that to me really opened my eyes on. I could never figure out. Like I would read the Book of Acts. Mm-hmm. You know, Acts 2. What the church is supposed to be. Acts 8, the persecution. And as they went, they shared the gospel. Acts 16, you know, where they're now in homes and in meeting. How did we go from this distributed family community environment to thousands of people sitting in rows, listening to one man lecture? Like, I could never figure out how we went from X to Y. And I asked a pastor friend of mine, and he said, oh, the Nicene Creed of 278 AD or whatever it is. And I just kind of stared at him because I am not a Bible historian. He actually is. He's written like 40 books on that. And but he told me, he said, go get Pagan Christianity. It's the book. It's called Pagan Christianity. It was written by George Barna and somebody else I can't think of at this point. But Frank somebody. It's killing me. I can't think of Frank's name. Frank, if you're listening, I'm sorry. Frank's not listening. But it's this book that talks about how through the Nicene Creed of the early 300s and, you know, the adoption of the public church and how it was used to try to control the people, not motivate growth and movement and explosion, but actually control and limit it. The governments of the time were trying to stop the rebellion that they were seeing by the early church in the 200s. And some of what they set up then has now been adapted for good. I don't want to be negative on the model, but there's a lot of stuff that we're assuming is biblical in how we do church today. And it's not biblical. It's extra biblical. It's outside of the Bible. It's opinions. And if it's an opinion, then you can have an alternate opinion. It's okay spiritually to disagree with someone over opinions, where we get into, well, what is the Bible saying? And if the Bible is not clear, then it's up in the air. And to be honest, you know, I look at some of my digital friends that are running digital expressions of churches with no buildings, and I will take them, you know, turn for turn on the biblical ecclesiology compared to some of the churches that I see operating in America in physical space. From a biblical standpoint, is influence better? We can have that conversation. Or is discipleship better? We can have that conversation. But when you look at what scripture is calling us to do, baptism is weird. Because you're not, but in communion is Coca-Cola and coconut wafers or whatever. Like, it can be done in different contexts.
Of course.
Does that make it right or wrong? It's different. And at the heart of it, we just have seen it. Doing something different reaches someone different.
Yeah. So good. So very good. Very good. One big Google Glab, or the big Google Glab addressed in Soul Wars discipleship. And you already touched that topic a couple of times. I'd like to take a view from digital church, from digital mission to hybrid or non-digital church. How could or how already does flourishing digital discipleship look like, and how can hybrid or analog churches benefit from it? What did you say?
Yeah, there's a book. I'm gonna give a shout out to a friend of mine here in America. I'm gonna assume this book is in Germany, and if it's not, Simon, I will mail you a case of these books, and I want you to give this book out to all of your hybrid and analog friends. The book was written and published just recently by Jay Cranda. He's a digital pastor over at Saddleback Church in America. Small church, Saddleback. You may have heard of it. But his book is called Online Church is Not the Answer. And it is, I think, maybe the best look I've seen at an educated person who understands digital ministry talking about how a physical church can move beyond broadcasting services and actually embrace the idea of digital discipleship. Jay and I have, you know, we're friends. The day the book released, he was on a stream for the Church Digital talking about the book. And I think I'm mentioned in the book once or twice, at least on the, whatever the opening, but, there will be more coming from Jay in the Church Digital on helping hybrid churches in North America and around the world better embrace these ideas. Wonderful. But Jay, it was funny, as I was reading the book, what Jay put into words is what I had on my heart. And a lot of the ideas that were running around in my head were some of the ideas that he put into print. And I've already been handing the book out to, you know, a lot of my team and people that are, you know, doing hybrid ministry and kind of tackling those problems. And it's like, okay, how do we replicate these ideas and get it from the page to actual practical? And so what I would say is what the Church Digital was to digital missionary, stand by to see what the hybrid church is. There's some really interesting things coming soon.
So good. So we're going to wrap it up for today. Thank you very much for being with us. You will have the last word in our podcast, as it is always in digital und real. We're going to put a couple of things you noted in the show notes. So the book you already noted, as well as I'll recommend for everyone again to listen to Jeff being host of the podcast at TCD, really blessing with, I think, 250 or 300 episodes already.
Oh, we may be at like 317, 300 and something. Yeah, it's just, you know, I have, other than a week or two here or there, I've taken like no time off in 5 years. And so I'm taking basically November and December off, slowing down a little bit because we've got some other things ramping up in 25. But yeah, the podcast is at thechurch.digital/podcast. But really, like if you want to hang out with us, it's on YouTube, youtube.com/thechurchdigital. All the streams and my podcast and some of the other shows that we run through the Church Digital are on there as well. And so, yeah, my heart is to resource ministry that guys and gals like you are doing in Germany, in Europe and beyond. And like I said, well, I don't know anything about Germany. Simon does. And so the more that we can help Simon and people like Simon to do the ministry that God's calling you to do, well, the better I'll sleep at night knowing that I did what God called me to do, because he told me to help. He didn't call me to plant the church. He very clearly said help. And so I've been helping for 6 years because it's not my turn. It's your turn. So, yeah, happy to do this. And, you know, find us online.
Thank you very much for sharing a lot of your heart, for giving an insight as well as a view into the probably near future, how digital ways of mission, digital church, digital discipleship could shape the future of the global church, and what TCD could play as an accelerating role in it. So we'll finish up and last question to you. Which one sentence would you like to pass on to our listeners in Germany? One sentence.
Come hang out with us on WhatsApp. Visit, open up a web browser and go to whatsapp.thechurch.digital. whatsapp.thechurch.digital.
Danke für Ihr Interesse und dass Sie so Teil von Gottes Mission sind. Wenn Ihnen der Podcast gefällt, dann abonnieren Sie ihn gerne oder schreiben Sie uns eine Bewertung. Damit helfen Sie, dass noch mehr in Gottes weltweites Wirken mit hineingenommen werden. Übrigens, dieser Podcast ist werbefrei und kostenlos und das bleibt er auch. Die Arbeiten der Allianzmission werden ermöglicht durch Spenden. Unterstützen auch Sie uns gerne mit Ihrer Spende unter allianzmission.de/spenden.